have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up once again to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And before we start our study tonight, I feel compelled to pray for all of those who raised their hand this morning. There were a lot of people that raised their hands acknowledging the fact that they need Jesus. And so I think that we need to pray that as the Holy Spirit continues to work on their heart and continues to bring them conviction, that they'll not resist, but instead they will respond. And so let's take a moment and pray and just ask God to continue what He has begun in their lives. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the impact of it. We thank You for the power of it. Father, we thank You for absolutely every aspect of Your Word. And now, Lord, as seed has been sown, Father, You saw every hand that was raised and every heart that prompted that hand. And so we're going to ask You, Father, to work in these lives, every one of them. Father, help them to realize the gravity of the decision that they need to make. Father, let them realize the urgency of the decision that they have to make. And so, Lord, we're asking You through Your Spirit of comfort and encouragement and also Your Spirit of conviction to rest upon them and, Father, help them so that they can make a decision that is going to affect their eternity for good and for Your glory. So, Lord, we place them in Your hands. And again, thank You for what You do. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, as you will remember, we began by looking at the first four verses of 1 Peter, and we had talked about the fact that he was writing to those who were scattered about throughout these particular regions of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and as he is writing to them, he is trying to encourage them in their salvation to be faithful and to acknowledge God as a holy God and to realize that they as well must be a holy people. God is not going to take dirty people to glory. All right? He's taking redeemed people. He's taking people who love Him and those who are prepared for His return. And so I want us to kind of look a little bit at this hope for the future that we have. And we're going to reread verses 3 and 4 because they kind of lead in to this fifth verse where we want to begin our study tonight. And so Peter writes this, beginning at verse 4. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, we went right through that fifth verse because it's important that we acknowledge the fact that the born-again experience in Jesus Christ is what opens up our life for eternal life. That's what begins us on the road to salvation. And, you know, we kind of mess it up when we get the idea that I am saved at this point. We are born again, and we have received a spiritual birth at the moment of receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But that sets us on the road of salvation. And salvation is receiving Jesus Christ, going into the fullness of the Spirit of God, and we will see that in 1 Peter. And then to the end of where we receive actually our glorified bodies. That's why Peter writes that he writes these things to such as are being saved. All right? Consider the fact that we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior and look at that as being saved. But I want you to understand that salvation is the overall process until we reach the point of glorification. Then we can look at the overall picture of salvation. Because to be honest with you, there can come a point in this life where we turn our backs on God, walk away, and we find ourselves in a worse pickle than what we had at the very beginning. And if you want to look at that kind of thing, just read the book of Hebrews and read the particular five warnings that are given to the Hebrews about their need to continue and to not fall back into sin. And those five warnings are very, very distinct. And read about the fact that God says, look, I will blot out your name from my book if you don't walk faithfully with me. Wow, that's pretty blunt. If we don't walk faithfully with Jesus Christ, he will blot our names out of his book. And so it's important that we realize we have a duty to walk with Jesus Christ in faithfulness and in obedience. Jesus told his disciples, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you obey whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatever I've commanded, you got to obey that. And so it's important for us to recognize that. And so he says in this fifth verse, he said, we are protected. Once we have entered into that born-again experience with Jesus, once we have begun on that faith journey, on that life-changing experience of receiving Jesus Christ, then we get a blessing in that we can be protected by the power of God. Folks, I want you to understand something. Satan can't do anything to us that God doesn't allow. And it's important that we remember that. He has no authority in our lives. The other side of that is Satan cannot. All he can do is tempt us, but we are the ones who submit to temptation. Flip Wilson got it wrong in the 60s. The devil made me do it. No. The devil enticed, but we submitted. And so it's important that we realize that. We can and must live victorious Christian lives in this present world. Because we are called not just to be children of God. We are called to be witnesses and to be examples. We're called to victory. We're not called to defeat. And that's kind of what Peter is saying here. He's saying, look, we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Folks, the last time for each of us is a little different. All right? We had a prayer request for Jeffrey Betts' family today. Jeffrey's last time took place this morning. All right? And now he's in the hands of God. And there are others who have gone from this world today that it was their last time. And now they answer to God. We don't know when our last time is going to be. When's going to be the last opportunity that we have to assemble together like this in God's house? I don't know when that's going to be. I really don't. But God does. And He has given us warning. He has given us signs that we need to watch for. Jesus said, you're not going to know the hour nor the day. Oh, what? Is it past December 21st? We may not even be here right now. I don't.
They might have met the next one.
What's that?
They may have met the next one.
They might
have.
But you see, Jesus said we're not going to know the hour or the day. But He did say we would know the season. And that's a huge difference. All right? And when you look at all of the prophecies regarding the return of Jesus Christ, this is the season. This is the time. And I'm not speaking just about the issue of, well, because things aren't good in the United States, they think it's the end of time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the worldwide condition of this world. Look at what is ripe. This world right now is set up for the Antichrist to be able to rise to power and supposedly to bring peace and to bring resolution to the financial woes and ills of this world, to be able to supply those kinds of answers to the point of where people will begin to pay honor and pay homage to the Antichrist. And then He'll set Himself up as God. The time is right. The season is here. And we need to be faithful to Christ. Or you know what? We will be deceived the same as the world. And the deception is happening at an alarming rate, even in the church, because people are willing to follow anything as long as it's different. And that's tragic, because that is leading to an anemic body of Christ. So we've got to be prepared. We have the power of God at our disposal. We need to keep the line open. And He says we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now remember, He's writing to an audience who is dispersed. They've lost their homes. Sound familiar? They've lost their jobs. They've had to move. They've had to go, in some cases, to foreign countries or in foreign regions, and they're viewed as foreigners. folks, I'm going to tell you, in our society today, if we live faithfully for Jesus Christ and close to Him, we're considered foreigners in this world, even in these United States. And we are looked at with disdain by the ones who are educated, by the ones who are entertainers, by the ones who are politicians, by the ones who are lawyers. We are looked at as though we are bizarre and the problem with this world, when in reality, as believers, through Jesus Christ, we have the solutions. Because it's not about this world. It's about the world to come. And so Peter says, look, you're going through distressing times. And we are. We might just as well admit it. We are going through distressing times. But the proof of our faith is what's going to bring us through. Look at verse 7. You're going through distress by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? When that trumpet sounds, and that sky splits open, and the white stallion has the perfect rider that is called Lord of Lords and King of Kings, when that moment takes place, we'll be changed. In an instant, it's called the rapture of the church. Will be changed in an instant and made like unto Him. What does that mean? That means that we will have new bodies, that we will have new minds, that we will have new hearts, that we'll have a new residency, and that residency will be in a place that doesn't go boom. All right, it's a residency that doesn't rust, doesn't decay, where the streets are like crystal, like glass, like pure gold that doesn't have any kind of color or any kind of spot in it, but absolutely pure. That's what we'll walk on. If we stay true, if we hang tight, if we pursue a deeper and deeper and deeper walk with Jesus Christ every day, and realize that it's not about us, it's about Him. And as that comes about, we will be honored. There was a song that was out in the 70s. It was a gospel song. And I can't remember the title of the song. Probably some of you can. But it was one of those heaven songs, you know. And it talked about how the angels will step aside as the mighty ranks of the saints march into the city. The angels will be silenced while the people of God praise, and they'll be filled with awe at the wonder of the praise that takes place. I want that. I don't know about you, but I want to be there. I want to experience that moment And then to realize that that will be an eternal moment? That's incredible. To know that we will have access to the throne of God anytime we want it. We already have access to God through prayer anytime and any place. But I mean face to face. Like Bill and I right now, face to face. We'll be able to have communion with God in that kind of a moment. Face to face. And Bill's sitting there thinking, man, God's going to be better looking than that guy I'm looking at. Yeah. But what an incredible, incredible promise that is. The God who speaks and universes are formed. And we get to be with Him face to face. Wow. That just blesses me. And now look at verse 8. And though you have not seen Him. Now keep this in mind. Who is this speaking? It's Peter, who walked with Jesus, who saw Him after the resurrection. But you know what Peter was wise enough to recognize? He hadn't seen the Father. All right? He had seen the Son. He had experienced the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelt in him, but he hadn't seen the Father. I always get leery when someone like Peter hasn't seen the Father. I always get leery when someone says, I've been to heaven and I've seen God face to face. My Bible tells me that man can't take that. Man can't take that kind of an encounter. Moses got the opportunity to see God the Father's back. But God had let him know that, look, the glory is so great. You'd die on the spot if you saw my face. You know, so be a little leery of some of that stuff that goes on. And he says here, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's the outcome. The salvation of our souls for eternity. That's why we meet. You know, it really is. We meet that we might be equipped to live in this world a life that is positive for Christ. We meet that we might be able to encourage and be encouraged by one another. We meet to realize that God has a far greater place for us. And to be encouraged and blessed by that. And to know that someday we'll see Him perfect. And that our joy is inexpressible. Just the thought of that makes it inexpressible for us. What an incredible God we serve. It's after 6. For the Super Bowl fans, we're going to close in a word of prayer. Because I don't want all the fans mad that they missed the commercials. Would you please stand? We want to close in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the amazing promises that you have given us in your word. Thank you for the amazing presence of your Holy Spirit to bring us encouragement, strength, hope, grace, and dignity. Father, thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ who come here week after week to study, to learn, to discover. Now, Father, there's a world out there that needs us to be faithful to you. So help us to be faithful. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for it's in your incredible and awesome name we pray. Amen.